Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Tan and Tanner. Thank you for tuning in again today. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're all staying safe. If you're fasting, I hope your Ramadan is going well. So at the beginning of this week, I asked you guys on the Instagram account what you would like to hear next, because I'm gonna be honest, I'm kind of running out of ideas of topics I can talk about by myself, because the whole concept of this podcast was supposed to be that I talk to someone new almost every week, so that we can have a more lively discussion and maybe more points of view and things that can be considered, because I think dialogue makes the best kind of I don't know, just provides the best outcome. But 2020 had other plans apparently, so we're just rolling with it. Anyway, so I asked you guys, and you said that you would like to have an episode on how schools keep failing us, and this is a very interesting topic to me, because actually for me I didn't have many problems with school, because I'm not trying to like boast or something. Like I was always good at school, because you know, I kind of had a tiger mom, and she made sure I got my shit together when it came to school, and so yeah, I didn't really have any choice except being good at it, and the system just worked for me. But I hope I can cover most of the things that are wrong with the education system that is currently provided, especially in Western Europe. But I'm very sorry if I'm missing something, because you know, when you don't experience something yourself, it's quite hard to spot sometimes. But I did some research, and I hope I can cover everything today. So I was good at school, but I still have personal beef with school. And I think that's where I'm going to start, because that's one thing that really, really bothers me now, and something that I only noticed after I left school, actually, is the fact that I grew up in Germany. I went my entire school life. I went to school in Germany. Never went abroad or anything, so that's my only frame of reference, at least for until secondary education. University, obviously I studied in Belgium, so that's a whole other thing. However, let me start by saying that I am very annoyed with the fact that everything that we learn in high school, which starts or secondary school, which starts in fifth grade for us, was very German-centric. And I understand that I'm guessing this is how it is everywhere, at least in the Western world, because I know, for example, that when you have history class in the US, of course you're gonna talk mostly about US history, not about other things. Same with politics, I would say. Of course, like, you know, there has to be things that you have to learn, like the basics. In politics class at some point, we, like, one semester we learned about how the government works, how the seats are distributed, which institutions they are, how do you vote, and all of these things. Which is very important, and I think that's it's good that they're doing that. But then on the other hand, I'm like, we learned literally nothing, like nothing, about politics in the Middle East, for example, or politics in East Asia or America or South America. Same goes with history, which is very frustrating, because you know, now we were living in this globalized world where first of all, we don't really have time to research all of these things. And I know that these conflicts or that this history is very, very complicated and takes a lot of time to fully grasp, but I just wish our school or our curriculum would have contained some kind of like foreign politics, you know, because I think it's important to know. Like, you should, like, at this point in time in history, I think We should all have, I think it's part of like general knowledge, some things at least. And I know that it's hard to cover everything, but the fact that we covered nothing at all except, like, that's the only thing I remember actually, the whole how does our government work thing. So, kind of the rest of politics class was useless. Like, I don't remember anything at all of what we talked about, except that one time we talked about terrorism, which of course was then focused on, Islamic terrorist groups, which was very fun to talk about in class, because they just ignored all of the other terrorism in the world. But all right, that's a whole other topic, because my teacher was definitely Islamophobic and also a little bit racist and misogynistic. He was quite old, so I mean that's not an excuse, but not surprised, etc., etc. But yeah, so I think I just wish we wouldn't have been so Europe-centric. Same with history. Like, we learned, I think the amount of times that we learned about World War II, I can't even count the semesters anymore. I think it's like at least 3 or 4, and I get that the World War II is very important. It's a very important topic and it should be talked about, but I'm pretty sure that 1 or 2 semesters would have been sufficient. Like, at some point we do get that Nazis are bad and what happened was terrible, but like every time also, like, there was no a new perspective anytime we talked about it. Like, I would understand if for example like you would talk about maybe the Allies more in the next semester, or like or not even the Allies, like you could talk about the other forces, and like all of these players. But no, we only talked about Germany and what Germany did, and like, and that's very, again, very, very important and very, very necessary. But also, if you keep repeating the same things to me 4 times, like there is no, and there's no additional information or something that gives me more context or a better grasp of what happened, then I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, we could have talked about other things in history. And I remember, I think the only thing, like, the things that I remember from history class were World War I, World War II, and then the French Revolution. We had a little bit of ancient Egypt, but that was also only for like 2 months or something. And we did talk about Rome, and that's all I remember. And I'm like, there's so much more to history than just these things in that were happening in Europe. Like, why there? That's what I don't understand. Like, there was so many wars. There was the Vietnam War, there was the Korean-Japanese War, there, like, and also, I mean, history isn't only wars, but there was so many more things that we could have talked about. And I feel like it's not, again, I think we would have benefited from the fact, like, we would have benefited to know more about the actual, like, about the world. And again, I know that it's hard to cover everything, but the fact that we covered nothing at all is kind of disappointing. And same goes for cultural subjects like music or art. It was all very Europe-centric. And again, that's very dis or like we had some, yeah, some parts were from the US, but like, like that's not, Jesus. I'm just so tired that the US and Europe are like supposed to be the standard. Doesn't mean that, like, I mean, things are good here. I'm not saying that they're not, but I'm so tired that it's always the standard. And maybe that's because, I live here, so of course, but I just wish we would have, for example, in music, there is so many more. We had a lot of traditional, like classical music, pieces that we were analyzing and stuff, and it was interesting. But at some point I was like, now that I look back, I'm like kind of upset that we didn't talk about Middle Eastern classic, like folk music, or same like East Asian. Like, I know Korea and Turkey has they have some like similar instruments, like classical instruments. And like, there's so much more to the world than European music. I mean, come on. And same with art. Like, it's so hard. Or I don't know, we didn't have literature classes, so I can't really say, but I know that some countries have literature classes, and I'm pretty sure that people do not go outside of like their European and the American standard. And that's just so frustrating, because there's so many great authors and artists and musicians out there that are not from Europe and from the US and that have like revolutionized music in other parts of the world, that have contributed so much to the general to the general development of music and art and all of these things, not only there but also here. But the fact, like, you know, because we were not educated on it, we only see these influences much later when we're actually like maybe by accident stumbling upon it, and we're like, oh, this kind of sounds like this, and then like you look into it and then you realize like, wow, there was this whole connection the entire time, but no one took the time to maybe appreciate the fact that this might be coming from somewhere else. And that's again, like, it's a bit frustrating because I feel like I know that it's hard to maybe find a balance, but also there was this thing that Tabo said on his podcast, and it was something along the lines that, you know, school should be teaching in a way that thinks about the future, not about the present. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was like all about the internet, globalization, like, you know, borders kind of erasing, like everyone was connected in a way. And I'm like, okay, we're doing that with, but then we have no understanding at all about other people's backgrounds and like not even a basic, like, you know, like I personally, for example, I started focusing my attention more on to Middle Eastern politics, Middle Eastern history, just because for me, I'm upset that I have missed out on this part of my heritage and where I come from, and like that part of my identity as well. And so I'm trying to learn more about that, but I have to take time out of my day to completely understand what was happening, because I have no foundation to start off. And so I think this is going to be increasingly important. I don't know, like, from what I know from my siblings, not much has changed, but I'm also aware that this might not, I mean, maybe you were lucky enough that your school did it differently, but this is just something that I have noticed and that really upsets me. I wish it would change. Okay, I got mad enough for long enough about this. Let me get to my next points. Grading systems. Holy moly. I hate the grading systems that we have in place, or the ones that I have experienced at least. So, which are pretty similar. I mean, you know, you have A, B, C, D, E, F, and then a passing grade is a D. And E and F are not, you know, not passing. And so I'm a bit torn about the grading system because I understand its necessity to, you know, push people to maybe work harder. However, I can also see that this is not necessarily working. And then there's always this discussion like, okay, if it's not working, is it because the person is not as ambitious, or is it actually because the system is just not working for them, or, you know, I think there's a lot of factors, and I think this is a bit more complicated. And I really wish I had someone to talk about, like, to talk about this specific point, especially with, but I don't, so bear with me. But, so personally, like, I think it's quite interesting that, you know, grading in high school is very important, because especially in Germany, because some universities, especially for example, if you want to study medicine anywhere in Germany, you have to have a specific I'm gonna call it GPA. You gotta have a specific GPA to get into the program, which is like a perfect 4.0 if I put it into US terms. But basically, you just have to have an average of A, like, you know, that's what you gotta have to study medicine to get into the program for sure. There's also other ways to get in. There's like, they always reserve some spots for people for interviews and lucky students who get in through the drawing process. But those spots are very, very limited. And so if you want to be a doctor, you have to make sure that you get really good grades in the last 2 years of high school. And I kind of understand that system because it makes it easier to distinguish between the people who might be, I don't know, more hardworking, for example. Like, I mean, this is just assumptions. I don't personally believe that, but here's my problem with it, right? Because there's some programs that require for you to have a perfect GPA. Mostly the people who get perfect GPAs, they apply to these programs because they can, not necessarily because they want to. So it's not really something that they're passionate about. When you have an average of an A, people expect you to apply to become a doctor. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they want to become a doctor. It's just like, oh, this is, I guess, the natural path that I'm taking. And they're not really thinking about what they want to do. And so a lot of people who end up in medicine are actually, they don't really care. Like, I'm not saying that for everyone. I'm sure that there is exceptions, but I have known people from my school that just, they were like, yeah, I don't know, I'm applying because that's what's expected of me now. And that's already a problem, I think, that the grading system reveals, because you're trying to categorize people based on their grades. And I don't think that's really fair to the students, because, you know, high school is filled with a lot of things that you might not be good at. But that doesn't, for example, if you have an average of a B, doesn't mean that you're going to be a bad doctor or that you're not going to be hardworking once you get into the program. It's just maybe that, you know, maybe physics wasn't really your thing, or you weren't like the best athlete. And, you know, these things count into your grades. And also the system, you might just not be the type of person that that flourishes in the system that you're currently in. You might have had bad teachers, you might have had a bad support system at home. Like, there are so many factors. So I think it's too simplistic to apply to students. But also, I don't really have a better system in place for high school. For university, on the other hand, I think that it doesn't make sense anymore that once you reach university that you have to get good grades. I think that once you reach university, you've shown that, you know, you and you got accepted, and, you know, you're like, I'm guessing you wanna, like, I mean, of course there's exceptions. I didn't want to study business, but I had to study business because of my parents. Usually, like, you have proven that, you know, you are ready for academic life. So I don't really believe in the whole prestigious universities BS, because I think it's BS. I don't think it matters where you study, you know, because course programs vary very, like, they don't vary a lot. The only thing that can vary is the professors. Like, of course, prestigious universities have more money because they charge more money to get people who have more credentials and all of these things. So the quality of it might be different, but I'm just thinking, like, what if we just got rid of that entire prestigious system and we just, yeah, just make education equal everywhere, and we get rid of these prestigious names and all of these things, and just focus on giving everyone the education that they deserve. And in that case, I'm also thinking, okay, but then why are we pitting students against each other, you know, at university? Because I'm like, we're all here to learn, no? And, like, education is important. Education is very enriching. And so I don't understand why you have to create this competition where people literally feel so anxious that they are that their physical bodies hurt. And I have known friends who got physically sick multiple times before exams. I have had friends. I know so many people who had to drop out because it was just too much pressure. And I don't think that's fair. I mean, everyone is there to learn, no? And so I think that once you get to university, at least, I think a pass and fail system is much more appropriate. And then some people are like, yeah, but then, you know, someone might, someone who might study a lot can pass, while someone who maybe only studied half of what they studied can also pass, and then pass the course. But, like, I'm honest, like, you could just make the passing grade higher. Like, you could just have a higher passing grade Which then again, you know, gives an incentive to not be lazy and to really study the material and, you know, get really in there and actually learn. But it wouldn't put on the pressure of like trying to stand out through grades, you know? Like, why do we still have grades? I don't understand. I honestly, I know this is, I don't think a lot of people will agree with me on this, but I don't think it's necessary. Like, for example, let's assume that 70% is a passing grade, but then you just have pass or fail. Like, you're still going to study a lot for that, you know, because 70% is still quite high. And so you will still have to put some effort. And it's not like you can just walk into the exam and be like, yeah, just going to do that. And, you know, it's just much. And there's still like that, I mean, I don't have a perfect solution, right? Like, this is just what I think would benefit people more. But, yeah, there's also some people who say we shouldn't have grades at all. Not sure if that's that useful, but, I mean, I'm here, like, convince me, like, I'm here to learn as well. I think what's also like the biggest problem with the grade system is that we are like so trimmed on getting a certain score than actually learning the material. And this is also has to do with the way that we're tested on our knowledge, right? Because a lot of it is like standardized. I had a lot of exams where there was multiple choice questions. There was not a lot of reflection on the material. And I just wish I would have had more hands-on assessments. Like, I wish I had more papers to write, or I had more like oral exams where I actually have to have a conversation with the teacher, because I think that just shows that I understood the material a lot better, instead of just like, you know, learning something by heart and then, you know, like puking it out again, which is something I was really good at in high school, which is again why the system worked for me. But I didn't learn anything. Like, I remember one time in geography, we were learning about weather and weather changes and how like clouds come to be and storms come to be and blah, blah. And I remember I learned the entire passage by heart. I knew the entire paragraph by heart, and I actually copy-pasted the entire paragraph by heart during the exam, because that was one of the questions in the exam, which I was very lucky about. But yeah, and I got an A, of course, because, you know, I was the only one who got an A. Because I remembered everything. But like, that doesn't mean that, like, now if you ask me now, I don't know anything. I don't know how it, I did not understand how it actually works. I just learned the words, and so that's not really beneficial, is it? Like, you know, that's not the point. Which also brings me to my next point. I think that the current education system kind of, like, especially in secondary school, right? Like, I feel like in university, if you're lucky enough to choose what you want to do, you're kind of pursuing the things that you want to do, and you're choosing something that falls right into your repertoire. But in high school or in secondary school, you don't really have the luxury of doing that, which, you know, I understand, because can't really. I feel like secondary school and like elementary school is a basis. You should have once you leave secondary school, you should have a like a basic knowledge of everything. Like, you should know everything a little bit, you know. I don't remember physics, but, you know, I'm just glad that I had it, because now when I do come across it, I have like a basic understanding of how it works. And I think this is important, because we need to know these things. Knowledge is power, you know, so I think it's important. But on the other hand, I feel like, first of all, one problem is that every student learns differently and also needs more or less time than other students. So the fact that we're like having really big classrooms, that like 30 students with one teacher is not really beneficial. I know that there is more obstacles to this problem, because, you know, the number of teachers and educational experts is kind of on a downhill slope at the moment. So, you know, it's a hard one to tackle, to be honest. But I mean, the system that we have right now, like, I think was implemented late 1800s, and that's not really Like, that's over 100 years ago. I think we should be revolutionizing the classrooms. And first of all, we need definitely more teachers, which also means that they would have to get decent pay. But we need more teachers and less students in one classroom. I think it has to be a lot more interactive, a lot more hands-on, and also like the students should be allowed to one, take their own time, because like if you have if you need more time to understand something, it doesn't mean that you're dumb or that you're not never going to understand it. It just means that you need more time. And what I liked about high school is when in the last 2 years is basically when you are like studying to get your baccalaureate, and in those 2 years you can choose a profile on the interests that you have. So I have, for example, I had a art profile with a with natural with combined with sciences. So my AP classes were arts, math, and biology. And I really enjoyed that because it's something that I was actually interested in and I could see myself doing in the future. And that doesn't mean that I didn't have the other classes. It just means that that's something that I focused on. And I know that the classes in like that the level in those classes are going to be higher, but I also knew that I could do it because, I was interested in those classes and I knew it was one of my strengths. So, but you can't really do that. So I don't know what, yeah, I don't know. I think you can't really let, I think, young children choose what they want to do and what they don't want to do, because again, I feel like secondary school especially gives you like a basis for the whole, like, prepare, it's supposed to prepare you for the world and thereafter. And what, why did I say thereafter? I mean after school. And you should have a basic understanding of everything, but I think you should give students the chance to go as fast or as slow as they want. But then again, we would have to have enough teachers and classrooms and enough resources in general to provide that. So I don't know if how we can do that, but definitely needs to change. And yeah, there's also, and that kind of also restricts people's passions and strengths, and it's all very like the way that classrooms are designed right now is very like you have to have down to the letter instructions. Like there is no room for creativity, there is no room for autonomy. And that's also, again, very crucial actually now in today's world. Again, thinking about the fact that our education system is over 100 years old, and that that schools should be thinking about the future of their students, not about the present or the past. So yeah, there definitely needs to be some adapting. I heard that in Finland in 2015 they actually changed the system into, instead of having subject-based teaching, which is like that you would have geography, history, art, whatever, that you would have topic-based teaching. So people could choose a specific topic, like for example, let's say I don't know, I'm saying, like, I'm throwing, let's say neuroscience, right? So neuroscience, you would have biology, you would have chemistry, you would have maybe a bit of physics in there, some math, and but then you can also choose something like catering, and then you will learn about the history of catering. You will also have a bit of math in there because you need to handle finances, like all of these things. And so students are allowed to choose which topics they're interested in, but each topic still contains a lot of the subjects that we now know. And again, not sure if this is the perfect system, but I think it's an interesting approach to the whole problem, because clearly our system is not really working, is it? Yeah, I also something that I forgot to mention earlier. Was that I feel like that there was a lot of social issues, like social and political issues that have been left out from our personal curriculum. Like I just wish schools, again, thinking about the future, right? Like what do you want our society to look like in 5, 10, 20 years? And alongside that, why did we not learn about racism? Why did we not learn about feminism? Why did we not learn about white supremacy and colonization and like LGBT issues and history? Like even when we had sex ed classes, we never talked about safe sex for, you know, lesbians. I only learned about how to have safe sex as a lesbian when I was like 21, I think, and I found out by accident, and that's definitely not how it should be. So you know, the fact that we are not thinking about what we want for the future is, I think, very problematic. And I know that there will be parents and, you know, like politicians who are like, oh, this is like liberal, these are like the liberal hippies that, you know, want to infiltrate our children's minds and blah blah blah. But that's not the point. The point is that, you know, again, school is a very important foundation for your later life, also because in school you learn how to critically think and reflect. And so that's why it's so important to go through specific topics. Like the fact that we went through the topic of World War II, you know, and that I had someone there to guide me, and, you know, as a teacher and also with my classmates, was that I can be more critical about history, and that I can be more critical about military as well. Like that's, I think that's where it started for me. Like it laid the foundation for me to be more critical of my surroundings, of my environment, to be able to reflect on these things, to be able to have a like well-formulated opinion, like all of these things you learn in school. And so I think it's important that we talk about these things, because, you know, you want to you want your society to move forward, not backward. And as long as we don't give children the foundation to understand these like different histories, problems of minorities, problems of oppressed groups, there will always be that gap that we can never fill, because again, no one has time to sit down and like research all of these topics and, you know, just to understand the basics. Like that's, you know, not even saying that you have to, you know, like to get into this topic, you have to like really already take a lot of time. And so I just wish we, could lay that as a foundation already at an earlier age, so that our society as a whole can progress, in the right like speed, because right now we're like kind of stagnating, and I don't understand why this hasn't been changed yet, because I think it's very necessary, seeing that so many people don't know shit about any of these topics or anything outside of their own like box that they're in. It's just upsetting. Yeah, and oh man, I'm sorry, I'm like, I keep jumping back and forth, but it's because I don't want to dwell too much, but also I don't want to dwell too little. Trying to find that perfect balance. I forgot to mention something when I was talking about grades, and that's, I found a very interesting fact, which is that research actually shows that when you try to, like, striving for like the perfect grade apparently discourages creativity and risk-taking, and those things are very important in our modern worlds. But yeah, anyway, so we definitely need to find a better system for that. I don't know what a better system might look like. I mean, I made a suggestion, but I know that it's also flawed, so if you have any other suggestions, please let me know. But anyway, another thing that I wanted to talk about is education inequality, which, you know, again, in Germany, I'm very, very lucky, because Germany has a very good public education system, in the sense of that the quality, you know, wasn't, I mean, again, there was, you know, things missing and there was flaws and stuff, all of the things that I said before, but the quality of my education did not suffer from the fact that I was at a public school. And this is very different, for example, in, I know in America, but also, for example, in Turkey, because, so my family lives in Istanbul, and I know from my cousins and my aunts, like my aunts of second, great aunts, second degree, I don't know, like the cousins of my father and my mother, and of them sending their kids to school, etc., that, if you don't have the money to send your child to a private school, your child is basically fucked. Because public schools, most public schools, not all public schools, but most public schools are just useless and absolute shit. And that's because mostly like that the education sector is very underfunded, and you know, there's many factors of why that is if you want to read into that. This is a huge problem because you know, education inequality, like education is where it all starts. Education inequality fuels like social and income inequality, which then again ends up in this poverty cycle. So if you're like coming from a bad, like from a poor background, and you cannot like a bad economic background, and you cannot afford good schools, then you know you won't have as many opportunities in life. Like that's just a fact, especially in the like just higher education. Like even like you won't be able to get into a good university, which you'll also have to pay money for. And then like getting a good job is much harder. And so for you, the chances of you staying in the same socioeconomic bracket that you were born into is much higher. And so education equality is very, very important. And that's why I really like Germany. Like, this is one of the things that I really like in Germany, that secondary education is mandatory and free. And unless you're sending someone to a private school, but again, it's not very necessary. And there are not a lot of private schools actually in Germany. And also, there is almost, I think almost all universities are public universities, not private. And there is the fee, like the tuition fee is very, 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 very low. And I think that is so important because imagine you cannot afford to pay tuition, and then because you didn't get a scholarship and you cannot, you know, you cannot work enough to earn that much money to pay for your tuition. And I know, for again, like the US I think is a very, very extreme example, but like there is like it's just so ridiculously high. The tuition fee is so ridiculously high that I have no idea what you're spending that money on. And I don't think that's fair to anyone, because if you're trying to better better society and, you know, fast forward social progress, I think everyone should have the right to education. And that also includes university education. And that's a big barrier. Like money is a huge, huge barrier. And I know a lot of friends who are struggling with this, and it's just really upsetting because, you know, these people want to study and they want to educate themselves. And it's simply not allowed because they can't afford to. Like, that's crazy. That is crazy. And I was applying for master's recently, right? And I was looking at the prices as well, because that's a factor I have to consider. And there was one university in Italy that charged 20,000 euros per year. And that is crazy. Like, that is unimaginable for me. I'm like, that's, I could buy a secondhand car with that. That is absolutely ridiculous. I do not understand why I would have to pay for that. And of course you're paying for the brand, right? Like you're paying for the name on your resume. But I'm like, I can get good education somewhere else with like one quarter of the money that you're asking for. And like, of course, one quarter of the money is still a lot, but it's something that I'm very, very fortunate and privileged in that fact that I can afford, you know. And I really do believe that education should be free, but that means that you would have to have a government that substitutes the education sector well enough, and also that a lot of that people would be willing to pay higher taxes so that their children can actually go to university. And you know, that's sometimes a bit too socialist for a lot of people, but I think that's when what we should strive for, and that's when society progresses the most. And I mean, in general, the education sector needs to be subsidized more by the government because, I think the only thing that now, like, there is a big difference between what I see from when I was studying at public school versus my siblings now studying at a private high school is that they are using a lot more technological devices. And I think that is very important. Like, I don't know. I mean, of course, like, I left high school 6 years ago, so I don't know if it changed now, but I again, like, thinking about the future, I think we should implement these resources as well as much as we can everywhere, because that's how you learn. Like, I'm actually kind of scared of my sister. She's 12, I am 24, and she knows how to use a lot more programs than I did when I was 12, and even now. And it's a bit scary because that means I will probably become abundant by the time she is ready for the job market. But at the same time, I'm glad that she is, like, that she has this opportunity to actually do that. And I wish that, again, public schools had the means and the resources to do that as well, because it's going to be important in the future job market, 100%. Okay, this is enough of me ranting. I think to end the episode, I kind of wanted to check because I was looking for the best ranked education systems, in the world, and Finland obviously stands out because it keeps being ranked number one, like, I think consecutively for a very long time. And also Singapore has been scoring quite well, I think. But I kind of wanted to check what makes them stand out so much. Just to compare, maybe they have some. I mean, apparently it's working, so yeah, then we will see. Okay, so I'm looking at Finland first, and I'm gonna look at Singapore as well. But immediately what I notice is, like, education in Finland is just free. excuse me, which again, very important. Apparently the reasons why the Finnish education is so good is that there's early childhood education, and that there is basic education that is free, plus free meals at school, which is something that we actually didn't have. And I think this is also very important because, again, some children might be from a background where meals are not as regular as they should be. And that is very, very important. Also, apparently, teaching is a highly respected and professional field in Finland, and most of them hold master's degrees. And you're actually also required to hold them if you're a basic education teacher. So I'm guessing this is until, like, this is probably primary school for Finland when you're 7. Alrighty. And then there's upper secondary education, which is, again, also free, and you can choose to do that, or you can choose to not do that and do it maybe later if you wanna. And for universities, again, they are free, and there is you like there is no tuition fee at all, which is pretty amazing. And you only have to pay for books, transportation, and other school supplies, and even for that you can get financial aid, so that is pretty cool. And then of course you can choose a vocational training, and or not vocational training. But yeah, this is quite, yeah, this is so simple, but why are we not applying this everywhere? It's crazy. I don't understand. Okay, let me see what Singapore has to say. Alrighty, so Singapore stepped the fuck up. All right. I don't know why I said this so weirdly, but this is amazing. Okay, so first of all, education has apparently been a priority for Singapore since its independence, because they saw it as a very important factor of economic development, and I absolutely agree, by the way. And yeah, apparently it's very important for in Singapore system to, be up to date with things, and there's always changes and innovation, things implemented to the system, and it's state-funded education. So, the state is taking care of its education system, which is quite obviously quite important. All right, it says here curriculum focuses on teaching specific subjects and problem-solving skills. So this is quite important. This is something I said because when you teach autonomy and problem-solving skills, it kind of like if you're encouraging project work and things like that, then it helps with creativity. It especially concerning problem-solving skills in general. And you're not leaving out subjects that are very important, but it's more like that you have a new approach on how to teach them. And like if you're giving the children the chance to have a hands-on approach, it makes them understand the material a lot better, and it will probably also be retained in their memory a lot longer, which is much more important. Okay, then it says conducive culture. So apparently parents are very, very important in like play a very important role in their children's education. And apparently they're expected, so all kids are considered to be equally smart, which means that parents have to make sure that they praise and make an effort to enhance that inherited smartness. Students are held accountable for their own success and strategic thinking with practical application. This is so important because the fact that some students are just discouraged because A, they're not getting enough recognition when they do something, and B, that when as soon as they do something wrong, they're immediately blamed for it instead of like acknowledging the fact that they at least tried. And that it can be really discouraging for a child, and yeah, it's not the right way to go. Fourth is accountability system. Okay, this is really, again, very important. I think something that we are lacking in the West is the fact that teachers are not held accountable once they become teachers. So, for example, in Germany, like I don't think there are any accountability systems at all. Once you're a teacher and you're hired, you can just do whatever you want as long as you don't get fired, which is quite hard, I think, to do. But apparently in Singapore, you have to undergo a training at the National Institute of Education. And of course, Singapore also invests in its teaching force, which increases status and prestige of the profession. This is again like saying teachers have to have enough pay, So, you have to have some standards, and also I feel like this kind of has to keep going. Like, it's not like that you get your diploma once and then it's done, because teaching techniques might change and you might learn something new. So I think it's also important that we keep teachers accountable with seminars and all of these things. But anyway, apparently there is educational goals. Interesting. So apparently they're very, very specific about what they want from the desired results of the education system. And there is like a national curriculum, adoption of various pedagogies. And while ensuring high levels of preparation and professional development of teachers. So this kind of, I feel like this is pretty good because it promotes like connecting the concept of what a good education system is supposed to look like. It connects what they want with reality, because when they're having like if they have precise goals and they give you clear instructions on how these are supposed to be implemented, etc., there's a much higher chance that it will actually be implemented in all schools, so yeah, it's not only like you can't just give throw money at something and then not give them any devices to work with. And last thing is that they're differentiated learning pathways. Okay, this is very, very interesting because it's very different from the system that I know. So it says that from the age of 6, students join an elementary school for 10 to 11 years, which is followed by secondary school for 4 to 5 years. And afterwards, students have the option of two vocational learning pathways, polytechnics and junior colleges, that both lead to university education. And these pathways apparently show that, like, the acceptance that each student learns differently and has specific strengths. And therefore, each system is tailored to promote various learning capabilities and to encourage each student to achieve their best at their own pace. And again, this is very important because you cannot, there's no size, one size fits all. And so the fact that they're tailoring it to, you know, your own strengths, even though you have basic education, you know, they're not leaving out the basic education. They even have like a very long basic education. But, you know, you should have the capability at some point to choose which way you want to go and, you know, play on your strengths. Because that's what's going to be important for you in your later life, right? Because that's probably what you want to work on and build on and which field you want to go into. But, yeah. And Singapore's doing a really good job. I mean, this is just, I should have read more about this. This is just one article, but I'm sure that there's more to it. But, yeah, this is the takeaway. I think there needs to be a school revolution, especially in the West. Actually, everywhere, almost everywhere. But like from the education system that I have witnessed, both in Turkey and in Germany and in Belgium, there needs to be a drastic change because it's outdated. It's not, clearly not useful. It's making us stagnate into a direction that we don't want to end up in. And if you want to have any like economic progress, social progress, political progress, we need to ensure that, you know, the children of today actually do contribute something to the future. And for that, we need to be able to contribute something worthwhile in their lives. So yeah, maybe I should go into no, I'm not gonna go into politics. This is too much work. But I hope schools start a reformation somehow. And I will keep advocating for this, and I will keep talking about it. And I maybe at some point an influential person will hear me out and hear us out, because clearly this is something that everyone is struggling with. I didn't even talk about the whole anxiety, depression-inducing things that, you know, universities and schools do in general, because I think that's a whole other can of worms that I didn't have time for. But, you know, clearly things have to change, and we need better support systems, better curricula, better teaching staff, better resources, and more financial support from the government for education. Yes. All right, that's it for today. I hope you have a very nice day, a very nice week. I hope, you know, you feel loved and safe, and that you keep enjoying yourself in any way you can. Sending out lots of love to everyone, and see you next week. Bye.